Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verses 17 and 18. Let's stand together. Everybody standing. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. I read again verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. And God, we pray that if there's someone here not born again, Lord, help them to see their greatest need is Jesus. Their greatest need is to have their eternal destiny settled and be born again and become a member of the family of God and know they're going to be in heaven one day. And Lord God, for anybody not saved here or watching live stream or listening to a radio broadcast, we pray they'd hear the gospel and today be born into the family of God. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. We need to grow in grace. This morning, what I want to preach on is growing up. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. There's something wrong with staying a baby. There's nothing wrong with being a small church. There's something wrong with staying a small church. And there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ and not being able to grasp much of the Word of God. And so you feast on the milk of God's Word. But as you're in the book, you grow in strength, you grow in grace, you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we read. And before long, you become mature, more mature, and quote unquote, more like Jesus, and you're able to do more of the work of God. So there's nothing wrong. If you're someone just saved recently, praise God for your salvation. We lovingly refer to you as babes in Christ, or the writer of Hebrews said, unskilled in the word of God. But if you've been saved for 10 years, you've been saved for 5 years, you've been saved for 25 years, and you still don't have a handle on the word of God, man, there's something wrong. You need to grow in the knowledge of the word of God. Grow in grace. Remember when you're little, I can remember thinking this, I don't want to ever grow up. Man, I was enjoying life. Dad took care of all the bills. There was food on the table. I can remember sitting in the backseat of the car and seeing my dad's big, rugged, weather-beaten ears, and we were going someplace, and I'm in third grade, and I'm thinking, man, I hope I can stay a little, I don't want to grow up. I want to stay a little kid all of my life. That's not reality. Now, I would tell you, stay in love with Jesus. Amen. Never get over the wonder of Calvary and the goodness of God in your life. Amen. But you got to mature in the faith as well. I remember thinking when I was young, this is the up and down thing of immaturity. I want to grow up now. I want to be in charge. I want to go to McDonald's, Burger Chef it was back then, when I want to go to Burger Chef. I want to go to, remember, was there a restaurant in the Sioux called Deb's, right on the main drag? I can kind of remember a drive-in kind of restaurant there. Well, let's skip ahead. West Pier, Clyde's. I want to be able to eat whatever I want to eat. And now I'm the adult, and now I got some change in my pocket, but I can't eat whatever I want to eat because it's not healthy. And you can't live on double cheeseburgers and chocolate malts all of your life and pizza every night. Wouldn't that, heaven's going to be a great place. I want you to know that. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, I'm telling you this morning, it's time to put on your big boy pants. Time to think like a man or woman of God. Stop being the babe in Christ that is drifting and just taking it every which direction with every new doctrine that comes down the road and giving in to lustful kind of things all of the time and pleasures all of the time. You know, as a child of God, we need to put on our big boy pants and grow up. We need to become something for the glory of God. 1 Peter, I'll get over there now. 1 Peter, and let's go to chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means hitch up your pants. Back in biblical days, they wore long flowing clothing, and what they would do is they would take their clothing and they'd pull it up and they'd kind of strap it and tie it off to their waist, and that's how they got. He said, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Let's pray. Father, we ask again for your blessing. We ask again that you'd work in our hearts and do what needs to be done. May we grow in grace. May we not stay that immature, up and down Christian. As a child of God, would you help me this morning to proclaim the word of God so there's something there for everybody, the person that's new in the faith, that babe in Christ, and that person that's been saved a long time and is mature, and the person that's in between that's been saved for a time, but they're still not mature. God, help us to grow in grace, and we pray that your work would be done mightily here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your hand here in 1 Peter, because that's where we're going to spend our time. But 1 Corinthians and chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Sarxenos is that word there. In other words, fleshly. So he's writing to the believers in the church of Corinth, who should be somebody in Christ right now, because they're born again, they're in the family of God, they should have grown, but for whatever reason, they weren't growing. For whatever reason, there was a portion of the church of Corinth that was just kind of being led by the flesh, the sarxenos, the old man. In other words, they were born again, that old nature is still there, that new nature is still there, but instead of surrendering to the new nature, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, they were going back to Egypt and they were living and allowing the old man, the old nature, that broken man, that fallen Adamic race, to make all the decisions in their life, to give them direction in their life and what is right and wrong. He says, "I couldn't speak unto you as the spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." That means little children. "I have fed you with milk." That's what a little child needs. "And not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He is really reprimanding them. He's saying, you ought to be down the road as a child of God. You ought to be sitting down and eating T-bone steak, and I'm still having to feed you by way of the bottle. And again, I want to say this, get in the Bible yourself. I'm the pastor, I'm the senior pastor here. Here's what we believe. This is what I believe this with all my heart. I am not afraid of you studying the Bible. We have our great high priest. His name is Jesus. He has given to us the holy word of God. You need to have Bible studies in your home. You need to have personal Bible time with God, the Holy Spirit, feeding you and directing you. You don't need Pastor Rader or Pastor Josh or Pastor Bill there all the time, spoon feeding you. You need to come to church, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but you need to feed on the word of God yourself. And I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit. He will bring you to the right conclusions. If you're a born-again child of God and you're not reading the Bible with an agenda where you're trying to read into the word of God, if you're honest before God, he's going to build you into something great. He's going to make you a spiritual giant. You are going to become more like Jesus than Pastor Rader. And you know, you'll be able to help me along the way as well. But we've got to get into the word of God. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon that said, "If I could just get my people to read their Bibles, my ministry will have been a success." That was an eloquent preacher. There was a preacher who shook the English-speaking world, man. You know, and that was in the 1800s. But he was not afraid of the Holy Spirit. And he understood, like I understand this morning, if everybody at Fundamental Baptist Church became a Bible student, we'd all be fundamentalists. We'd all be biblicists. We'd all know what a prayer-answering God we have. We as children of God, man, but they were dividing up in the church of Corinth. Look what it says here in verse 3. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, these are all works of the old nature. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For what one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. And are ye not yet carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. They were dividing up into different camps, man. There's denominationalism already starting here in the Church of Corinth. Somebody asked me one time, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I told him I'd be ashamed. You know, that's the truth. I don't watch the network news like I used to. I'm sick and tired of the compromise. I'm sick and tired of people giving credit where credit is not due. And America needs to be called back to God. But I happen to be watching a news program, and their naive Bible expert on that morning program, who just kind of accepts everything that comes up. Anyway, it was the Uvalde shooting, and they had a Baptist preacher come on there, and he stood up. Man, he didn't look like much but when I heard what he says, man, that guy's got it. And he gave to them the Word of God, and they gave him about 10 minutes of live time, and he let her rip, and it was very good, powerful, and compassionate. And when they got done, I mean, she's sitting in the middle chair there, and she said, you know what I love about the Baptists? They're so scriptural. I thought, thank you very much. But it isn't about a Baptist denomination, is it? That's why we're an independent congregation. But I'm telling you, man, if we just get in the book, let's go back to 1 Peter now. I got to kind of get to my outline so I can get done on time here this morning. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be obedient, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You used to dress like a non-Christian. Now you dress and smell and talk like a child of God, like someone who reflects who Jesus Christ is. Verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or decorum or manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. When I got born again, you got born again, there was a great change. It says in verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, you get born again, you become a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As a child of God, when you get born again, there's a big change. Talking about growing up, there is a big change in the life of a sinner that comes to Christ. Man, and it starts on the inside. That's where the change takes place. And then it oozes out every orifice of the body. It oozes out the mouth. You start dressing a different way. You start talking a different way. You start going different places because there's been a big change in your life. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of growing up. That is being born again into the family of God. A new life. A new creation. Not that you worked up, not turning over a new leaf. God, the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence. And you surrender to Him, that's how you're going to grow. But there's a big, big change being a grown up. Let me take a moment here and do some family time. The reason I'm going to do this right now, and I wouldn't normally do this too much on a Sunday morning, but I don't get to preach on Sunday night anymore. These assistant pastors hog all the time, and that's when I would cover these kinds of things. But can I help you? Can I encourage you? Man, dress like a Christian. Be someone that honors God. Oh, here he goes. One day you're going to see Jesus. One day you're going to give an account. Amen. You'll never give an account to Pastor Rader. Never. Never. I too am going to see him. So I want to preach the Word of God. Don't defraud your brethren. Don't dress in a way. Every man here knows what it is that turns their head. And you know what I'm talking about. Every man here knows what it is that causes you to take a second look because you're healthy. All right. You know exactly what it is. And as children of God, we need to be holy for He is holy. Amen. Modesty is never out of style. We're coming into the heat of summer now. Time for Pastor Rader to preach this a little bit. Right. It's never out of style. I don't want to draw attention to the flesh. Man, you don't want to see me walking around with my shirt off. It wouldn't be pretty, I'm telling you right now. There was a time, but it ain't now, man. It would not be pretty. And it's, how can I say this without being crude? Ladies, you're not young anymore. I'll just leave it right there. Let the Holy Spirit take it right from there, all right? You don't want to turn heads. You don't want to be someone, and look up the word in the Bible, defraud, defrauding the brethren, causing the brethren to stumble. You say, oh, that's their problem. No, it's not. That's not the attitude of Jesus. That's really not what it was about at all. I'll always take care of the platform. Okay, here's a little philosophy. I'll always take care of the platform. You're going to be in the choir, you're going to dress right. You're going to sing up here at the pulpit, you're going to dress right. You're going to preach, you're going to dress right. Leadership, we're going to do our very best there. And you are welcome to Fundamental Baptist Church, even if you don't have the right standards. Because standards is not salvation. I understand that. You can paint your hair green, you can wear a chicken suit, and you're welcome to Fundamental Baptist Church. You're never going to teach a Sunday school. You're not going to lead anything, but you are welcome here. And listen, I'm way past trying to be the Baptist Pope. You run your own family as the head of the home. But get this, you stand before God. You stand before God at the bema seat of Christ. So run the family, be the head of the home. Okay, all right, got that off my back. There's a big change. And that change takes place in all parts of life, doesn't it? The scripture tells us in all manner of conversation and all manner of life, it really does impact where I go, who I hang out with, what I say, what the words that I use, how I dress, all of those things. It impacts all of that. And he just simply says, be ye holy, Jesus. Be ye holy for I am holy. I've called you. You're born again. You're to be lights in a world of darkness that's groping in immorality and just stumbling in the dark and going to hell. Someone needs to carry the light. That's our change. Well, you get part of being grown up, you be born again. There's a big change. And then there's big grace. Good, I come to this right now. Look at verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, nobody buys their way into heaven. From your vain conversation, your empty conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, you can take all your traditional religion, put it in a can, and throw it out the back door. I don't want anything to do with it. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, that's how we're born again, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Man, I'm saved because of the grace of God, who by him, for verily, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There's a big change in my life, and there's big grace, and I live it every day of my life. I cannot grow and I cannot minister without it, the grace of God. There's no salvation without it, the grace of God. There's no future without it, the grace of God. I thank God for the grace of God. There's big grace in my life. And here we are, the city that's set on a hill, a New Testament local church, and we ought to be shaking the Eastern Upper Peninsula for God. Tuesday morning, I'm trying to think of the time. I'm not recalling. I think I'm just after the noon hour. Ann Arbor Hospital. Went and saw a young man that was dying of cancer, and he just found out he had cancer in April. And we walked in the room. He was already in a coma, and he'd been there for several days. And they're getting ready to pull the plug. There's a young man that came to Canaanland Bible Camp, exposed to the gospel. Maybe got saved then, but nobody was sure. We walked in, Jake Bonney was with me, Jake's his cousin. His mom got down in his ear and said, Jake's here to see you. And no joke, his eyes fluttered. And they opened. I hustled around that side of the hospital bed and got right down next to him. I said, Dylan, you don't have much time. You know it and I know it. Now's the time to get born again if you're not born again. I gave him the gospel. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I got done. I said, Dylan, did you receive Christ just now? One nod of the head, just like that. Amen. We got back in the car, headed north, and got a phone call that he was gone. That's the grace of God. Amen. His last hour of life, that is the grace of God. Amen. Friday night, Dave Bourgeot's memorial service here. A lot of people here. Some of you people from the church, thank you for coming. I know Betty thanks you for coming. Alice thanks you for coming. There were a lot of people here that weren't from the church. First time in this church house. And we got the guy. My part was preaching the gospel. Jim got up and talked about his dad and read some from Alice and some from his mom, Betty. But I got to get up and tell everybody that Dave Bourgeot got saved in 1983. He received Jesus Christ as a Savior. And he confirmed that to Jimmy later on, you know. So, but the fact is, he got born again. I was able to tell them that that he's born again and he's in heaven. I preach the gospel, and there's no way I could accurately count 20 to 30 people. I hope some of them are here this morning. 20 to 30 people prayed and asked Jesus for forgiveness of sins and to come into their heart and to be born again. Boy, I rejoice. That's the grace of God. That is why we are here. And if we are not different than the world, if we are the world, we go back and we try to go back to Egypt, man, we're not going to make any impact. None whatsoever. There's big change. There's big grace. Also, there's big heart. Look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, that is without hypocrisy, love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. You might want to turn back there. I'll read it real quickly. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Big heart. That comes with the big change. That comes with big grace. This is maturing. You get to the place where it's no longer about you and your family. It's about others. It's no longer about me and my four and no more. No. It's about this whole world that's dying and going to hell. It's about the neighbor down the street. It's about the little boy, the one that's looking for truth. And if someone would just tell him about it, he'd receive Christ as his Savior. That's a love. And then you get a love for the brethren that is better felt than telt. We have a bond here, a camaraderie that the world knows nothing about. If you're a visitor here this morning, you're sitting in a group of people that is as diversified as we can possibly be, but we have one common denominator, and that is God the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, the salvation that's provided through the blood of Jesus, and we are brethren. And there are people here that would take a bullet for someone else in this church. Man, that's just the way it is, because there's a big heart, a love, an unfeigned love for the brethren that our Master showed us. He laid down his life for every sinner in this world. Man, he forgave me, and I'm such an obnoxious human being and full of myself, and yet he forgave me and gave to me eternal life, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Man, that is that, and I can't help but love other people because Christ first loved me. Amen. That's maturing. If you can't love your brethren, and I don't mean just the word, everybody's going to say, oh yeah, I love them. Yeah. No. If you can't love them with an agape, self-sacrificing love, you got to grow up as a child of God. And I thank God, one of the reasons this church has grown is we have a lot of people like that. We all stumble from time to time, but God is good. We need to grow up. Big change. Are you different than when you got saved? You say, oh, it's all on the inside. Well, if it's on the inside and there's big grace in your life, you're reading the Bible, it's going to get on the outside too. You'll get there eventually. Someday you'll be more conservative than Pastor Rader. It might not happen until you see Jesus, but you will. Man, get in the book. And then you got that big heart. And then look at verses 23 through 25. Here, how about a big book? One time I was walking into the pulpit. I don't even remember where it was right now. I think it was in Jackson. And I'm walking up to there. It was just before I'm getting ready to preach. I'm the visiting preacher. And I got my Bible and I'm walking up there. And a lady, she didn't say it in a nasty way. She said, that's a mighty big book. And I turned around and looked at her and our eyes met. And I said, I got a mighty big God. That's why we got a big book. Look what it says here in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. We know the gospel because of the word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, the logos of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. When you and I are gone, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Man, I love the word of God. I love being a Bible preacher. I can go into a hospital room and speak with authority and authenticity and give them the message of God, because I'm going in there and I'm not telling them what Baptists are. I'm going in there and I'm not telling them what religionity is all about or how you need to be an American, quote unquote, Christian. I can take to them the very word of God that says ye must be born again. Man, that's the authenticity of the book. Psalm 119, don't turn there. We don't have any time. I'm out of time right now. Longest chapter in the Word of God. Every verse in the middle of the Word of God, of the 66 books, and the numerical middle, every single verse speaks to the Word of God. Even the short ones. Sets the lamp under my feet. It's settled forever in heaven. That it's wonderful. That it's never going to change. And listen to this. Forget about finding your truth. If a phrase ever was belched out of the fires of hell, that's it. It's not about humanity. It's not about you deciding what your truth is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Absolute. The way to heaven. And so whatever you decide your truth is, that's good. I'm happy for you. That's real 21st century. I know that. But that's empty. And if your truth isn't agreeing with the Word of God, it's, you can call it truth, it's not truth. I want God's truth. Amen. That's what I want. And we have a big book. We have the authority of the Word of God. I was going to take you to 2 Peter and look at chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. And Peter says, we got a bigger, even though I experienced it, and there was Jesus right there, and there was Moses, and there was Elijah, what a place. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. And he said, that's the Word of God. It's never going to change. Never. What a book we have. What a God we serve. Being a grown-up Christian. A grown-up Christian, the only way I'm going to grow is by feeding. Now, let me challenge you. I want everybody in the church. I'm already in it. Some of you are already in it. I mentioned it last Sunday morning. Read the entire New Testament before Labor Day. If you didn't start yet, you start today, you got 92 days. That's about 3 chapters a day. Get in it. It'll be the biggest step forward you ever took spiritually. You'll grow in grace. God will show you things you never saw. You'll see things, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible. You'll see things you never saw before. You see, you're only going to get this much Bible by coming to church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. You're going to get this much Bible by coming to Sunday school and the morning service. You get this much Bible by coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then on Wednesday night as well. How'd they say that? People come to church because they love the pastor. They come to on Sunday morning, they come Sunday night because they love the church, and they come Wednesday night because they love the Lord. And that's not true in every case, but that's pretty accurate, man. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But at the same time, you better have a Bible time yourself. Grow in grace. God will bless you. God will do great things in your life. It's about time to grow up. It's about time to become something for God. Not that on again, off again. You know, level out, get in the book. The storms are still going to come, and they'll be like this, but you're fine. You're fine, and God will help you, and His grace is sufficient, and you'll find He's enough every step of the way. Study. Absolutes. You won't make it without your Bible. You won't. Say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir, man. I know it. I know it's true in my life. I'm so busy. Get unbusy. Get up a little bit earlier. I recommend that to staying up a little bit later, because that staying up part is tough, man. I run out of gas. 2:30 in the afternoon, man, I'm running out of gas. So I kind of run it on empty for a little bit until I can get my little nap in, and I just get a little shot to get me through late at night. Like sometimes 8:30 at night. Isn't that right, Debbie? Don't come knocking on my door at 9 o'clock. If you do, I got to get out of bed. I haven't seen the end of a John Wayne film in years, in years. I know how they all end, so it's fine. And I enjoy it right up to the time where I fall asleep and I wake up and turn the TV off and I'm gone. All right? Yeah, pure and simple. Get in the book, man. Mature. Grow. Don't be a babe. Paul said to the church at Corinth, climb down from your high chairs. Man, all I can give you is the milk of the word, because you're not in the word. You're not skilled in the scriptures. And it's not like you've got to impress God. He's going to feed you. You're going to get stronger. He's going to give you what you need that day. He's going to help you for that week. And you're going to get stronger as a result. And in a year's time, Labor Day, you're going to look back and say, man, I learned a lot this summer. Man, I grew in grace this summer. I understand things I didn't understand before. And it's amazing how God gives discernment. As you get in the Word of God, you turn the TV off. You shut down the computers. And you get in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.